Welcome back to Introduction to International Relations. This optional lecture is about protests. Specifically, as it says on the first slide, we're going to talk about when protests are likely to succeed, using a relatively simple game theoretic model, as well as the implications for how governments respond to the threat of protests. On the second slide, you'll find a model of protests. To keep things simple, we're going to assume there are only two players, each of which represents a block of like-minded people. One of them is really unhappy with the government. The other might or might not be. More on that soon. Each of our two players, which we'll just call 1 and 2, has to decide whether to stay home or protest, and if they decide to protest, they have to choose where to march around carrying their signs. They can either do that at Freedom Square or at Grassy Park. Yes, those are made-up names, and sure, there might be lots of other locations that make sense. Or there might only be one, which would seem to make things simpler. But even if that was true, they'd still have to decide whether to go to the one obvious place on Saturday or Sunday, or during the week. The important thing here is that 1 and 2 need to coordinate their activities. It's not enough that they both decide to protest. They have to actually do it together to have an impact. If they both stay home, they both get a payoff that reflects their value for the status quo. Q1 for player 1, and Q2 for player 2. If they both protest at the same location, whichever one that happens to be, they both get beta, which here reflects the benefit of convincing the government to change some of its policies, or, in extreme cases, to step down, but pay some cost, C. If they both protest but do so at different locations, they both get their value for the status quo, because they're not going to put enough pressure on the government to get what they want, and they will still pay the cost, which might be very small, reflecting only the time they didn't get to spend watching Netflix, but could be very large if the government decides to lock them up, tear gas them, or whatever. There's two problems here. Player 1 absolutely wants to see things change, but they don't know for sure that player 2 does. And even if player 2 is as dissatisfied with the status quo as player 1, they still have to coordinate to succeed. As we discussed earlier in the module, that's not guaranteed to happen. Coordination problems are easier to solve than collaboration problems, but they're not trivial. And, as we'll discuss later, governments can get in the way of solving them. There are two types of player 2, red and blue, as usual. The red type doesn't really have a problem with the government. Or, if they do, they're not willing to risk getting tear gassed over it. Their value for the status quo is Q2 overline, which, by assumption, is strictly greater than beta minus C. The blue type shares player 1's frustration with the government and is willing to do something about it. Their value for the status quo is Q2 underline, which is strictly less than beta minus C. As ever, the probability of player 2 being blue is phi, and they're red with probability 1 minus phi. Turn to the next slide and let's talk about what happens in equilibrium. There are three general cases. In the first, player 1 seethes in silence. That's a poetic way of saying they're going to stay home, but they're not happy about it. It's not that they've decided they actually like the government. By assumption, Q1 is strictly less than beta minus C, the same as Q2 underline. It's just that they don't expect player 2 to show up, and they're smart enough to know that getting thrown in jail isn't going to solve anything. If this sounds implausible to you, if you've somehow made it this far in the module without letting go of the belief that people always act according to their conscience, consider the fact that many countries throughout history have seen large-scale protests after years or even decades of passivity. It's wildly implausible in most of these cases that when people weren't protesting, it was because they were happy with the status quo, and the moment they decided that maybe their government wasn't the best, they took to the streets. I'm not saying that no one ever protests, after all. There are two other cases we haven't gotten to yet. I'm just saying that when people don't protest, they may still be angry at the government. The fancy term scholars use here is preference falsification. Change sometimes comes very fast, and when it does, it tends to surprise people. The Arab Spring, the colored revolutions, the fall of communist regimes in Eastern Europe after the Soviet Union announced that they'd no longer prop them up, all seem to shock the world. If you don't make the mistake of assuming that anyone who isn't protesting must be relatively satisfied with the status quo, however, you might not find the next big protest surprising. Sometimes people seethe in silence, waiting for the right moment to take to the streets in hopes that more of the population will be there beside them. According to the model, that's what we expect to occur when phi is less than phi hat, or when those who are strongly opposed to the current government, or at least some of its policies, don't think it's likely enough that others feel the same way. How likely is likely enough? Well, that depends on the cost of protesting, which depends on how repressive the regime is, the benefit of forcing the government to make some changes or to step down, and how unhappy player one is with the status quo. If it's not clear from the fraction, those all work the way you'd expect. The higher the cost of protesting, the more likely one is to stay home, even if they think there's a decent chance that two would have been willing to protest as well. The bigger the benefit of forcing the government to give in, the less likely they are to stay home. But if the status quo isn't that bad, they're more likely to stay home. Note that phi hat also depends on another term I haven't defined yet. Here, S stands for the probability that one and two protest at the same place if they do in fact both decide to protest. There are ways of guaranteeing that they do so, in which case S equals 1 and the factors I just mentioned are the only ones that matter, but that's not always possible. This is actually going to end up being really important, so let's go through some numerical examples to illustrate the point. Suppose that Q1 is 0, meaning that player 1 is really, really unhappy. For the same reason, let's set beta to 2. The government is pretty brutal and oppressive, though, which is why they're so angry, and that makes protesting pretty risky. Let's set the cost of that at 0.5. If S was equal to 1, which, again, would mean that player 1 and player 2 have no trouble coordinating their actions if they both decide to protest, then phi hat would be 0.25. The only way player 1 seethes in silence, then, would be if they thought there was less than a 25% chance of player 2 protesting alongside them. They'd be willing to take to the streets, even if they thought it was more likely than not, and by a fair margin, that they'd end up in jail. What if we drop S to 0.6, though? That would indicate that it's pretty likely that they'll end up at the same place, but it's far from guaranteed. One of the two locations seems a little more obvious than the other, so we're not dealing with a coin flip, but there's still a 40% chance that the protest will fail. What happens to phi hat in that case? Well, it shoots up to about 0.42. Player 1 is still fairly willing to take to the streets, but they need a lot more confidence in player 2 here than they did when S was equal to 1. So what happens when phi is greater than or equal to phi hat? Well, player 1 is definitely going to protest, but they might not have player 2 there with them, and so they might fail to get what they want. In this model, protests can fail in two different ways. One is that player 2 stays home. That happens 1 minus phi of the time. Remember, comparing phi to phi hat only tells us whether one is willing to take the chance that two will take to the streets. It doesn't tell us whether two actually does so. When phi is less than phi hat, one doesn't even risk it. When it's greater than or equal to phi hat, they do, but that risk is still a risk. And if phi hat was 0.25, as in one of the examples above, it can be a pretty big risk. The other way that protests can fail is that they're uncoordinated, which might make it easier for the government to break them up or simply ignore them. That happens with probability phi times 1 minus s. That is, even when one decides to protest, which they do whenever phi is greater than or equal to phi hat, there's only a phi probability that 2 does so as well, and only an s probability that they end up at the same place. That logically implies that they end up at different locations, one at Freedom Square and one Grassy Park, 1 minus s of the time. Finally, there's also the possibility of successful protests. Provided that phi is greater than or equal to phi hat, which it must be in order to convince player 1 that it's worth protesting, this happy outcome will occur with probability phi times s. That is, once player 1 decides to protest, the probability of their protest succeeding is equal to the probability that player 2 also decided to protest, phi, times the probability that they went to the same place as player 1, which is the definition of S. What does that tell us? Well, one could quibble with many features of the model, not least of which is the assumption that there are only two players. But the basic results emerge from more realistic models, so there's no reason to get hung up on that. The key point here is that player 1 has to be worried about two things: whether other people feel the same way as they do, and whether they're all going to show up at the same place at the same time. The latter might sound like a trivial concern, but I don't think it is. In fact, I'm about to tell you that it's the harder obstacle to cross. Turn to the last slide. Roughly speaking, governments have three choices if they want to avoid giving in to the demands of protesters. First, they can crack down on the protests after they occur. That's generally not the best option, though it is one that we see from time to time. As I discussed in the optional lecture on human rights, there's no guarantee that the security forces will follow their orders. There have been several examples just in the past few years of governments ordering the police and/or the military to break up protests, only to be forced to step down and perhaps even flee the country because their forces refuse to do so. There's also the possibility that even if they succeed in breaking up the protests, the international community will make them pay for it by imposing sanctions or backing out of talks over trade agreements or whatever. Again, as I discussed in the lecture on human rights, we have some evidence that governments that treat their people better are rewarded economically, either by other governments or major financial institutions such as the IMF and the World Bank, or by private corporations who are reluctant to do business in unstable countries. The other option is to prevent the protests from occurring in the first place through extreme censorship. If no one is allowed to criticize the government, then those who oppose the regime strongly will be forced to wonder whether anyone agrees with them. In the language of the model, limiting free speech by banning dissent can have the effect of decreasing phi, which can encourage player 1 to stay home. However, no one likes being told what they can and cannot say, and this level of censorship might increase Q2. In fact, if the government is oppressive enough, player 1 might feel justified in assuming that no one could possibly be happy with the government. They won't need to hear anyone say that they're unhappy to know that they must be. So that can backfire. Besides, this too can have negative repercussions on the world stage. Odds are that it won't. Let's be honest, most of the world's governments and corporations are unwilling to walk away from a chance to make money just because they disapprove of the way a government treats its citizens. But it might. The third option is to allow criticism, but not coordination. That is, the government could allow people to say whatever they want about how horrible the government is, but act swiftly to remove any messages online that identify specific times and locations to hold protests, or any gathering that sort of smells like a protest. By allowing criticism, they might allow FI to increase, but they also look like they're behaving themselves to the rest of the world and can stop worrying about trade deals being scuttled, to the extent that that was ever really a concern. Some of their citizens might be taken in by that too. Sometimes, people just want their voice to be heard. If they're allowed to vent their frustrations online, without fear of censorship or punishment, they might be less willing to take to the streets to demand that the government actually do something to address those frustrations. So Q2 might go down. Sure, some people are still going to want change, Q1 might remain high, but it'll be harder to find people to join their protests. And if the government is selectively censoring speech, then even if Player 2 decides they're willing to join Player 1, their protests are more likely to fail because S won't be very high. Recall that in class, I asked you all to pick a shape without discussion and then allowed you to do so with discussion. That was meant to show you that coordination problems are easier to solve than collaboration problems. But I hope it didn't convince you that they're not a problem at all, because most of you did not pick the same shape initially. If I had censored any attempt to coordinate, you would not have overcome the problem. So we should be very concerned that governments can prevent protests from occurring, and even convince the world that they're not oppressive since they tolerate so much criticism, by choosing to censor only coordination. In fact, a recent study found that this is exactly what the PRC does. The authors used software to scrape social media sites, meaning that they gathered data on everything everyone said the moment they said it, and then also checked to see what did or did not get deleted. What they found was that messages that were critical of the government, even those that were extremely negative, were no more likely to be censored than messages that were completely innocuous. Messages that had the potential to coordinate actions in ways that seemed like they might turn into protests, whether they explicitly talked about that or not, were far more likely to be censored. Put simply, the Chinese government doesn't seem to care whether you say bad stuff about it, even though that dispels the illusion that everyone is happy with the way they're running things, so long as you don't say, "Anyone who agrees with me should come to Grassy Park at noon on Friday." That they will not tolerate. And by censoring those sorts of messages, but not general dissent, they ensure that a lot of their citizens seethe in silence when they might otherwise take to the streets.